And when Jacob rose up from that dream, he said, ah, this is the gate of heaven. Amen. So gates are very critical. And the Bible says that Peter, because of the revelation that you have, that I am the Son of God, that I am the Messiah, that I am the Christ, because the Father opened your heart and deposited this information in your heart, this revelation has upgraded your status in my kingdom. And right now, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on the earth is loose in heaven. And he said, let me tell you what, I will build my church on this rock. And the what? Gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. Hallelujah. For us to take nations, we have to deal with the gates. Amen. There are powerful musicians, powerful celebrities, powerful men and women. At times, because of their contribution to society, the mayor of the city will give them, you know, kind of a key. And say, we've given you the key to this nation. So you have people who are not even citizens of this country, but yet they are honorary citizens or members of a particular state. Amen. And God is saying that, well, I have given you those keys already. Hallelujah. God has given us that master key. It's called David's key. I'm telling you that there is something that God has deposited in us, that this word is uncovering and revealing. And this word is going to empower you to take over nations. This is our call. The church is called not to just be between and sandwiched between four walls, singing hymns, hallelujah, taking offertory, having a nice sermon, amen, and then being blessed and going home, amen. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, come back again. Clap our hands, praise and worship, hallelujah, we are happy. Then we sit down, we welcome the new guys, hallelujah, we tell them the vision of the church, hallelujah. How many people came today? Oh, nobody came today. Okay, that's all right. We thank God for all of you here. Hallelujah. And then we have communion or whatever we do. We give a nice word. It was, wow, that was a powerful word. Then we all go home again. We come back again. And the world is going to hell. The church is a place where we come to be empowered. Amen. To be restored. A place where we are edified. A place where there's a perfection of the saints. And all this work is done by the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. This work is done for the work of the ministry. God wants the church to be the place where we come. It's a place of defense. Everybody say defense. It's a place where we get things in place. Amen. Where the lambs are groomed to become, you know, sheep. Amen. Where the sheep are given food. And then it's a place of commissioning. A place where we are released to go out and win the world. And then we come back home. Paul and Barnabas, after the work they did, came back to the church and gave a report of what they did. That's how it should be. This church should be sending out evangelists. Hallelujah. This church should be sponsoring evangelists. The church should be taking care of the evangelists. Unfortunately, evangelists have become a class on their own. Amen. But God is going to restore that office. God is going to restore that office. For you're going to take over the whole world. Do you believe this word? Amen. And the anointing to do that is called the breaker anointing. Brother, sister, you cannot take a city by yourself. An anointing must go with you. Because the gates of the world are manned by certain personalities called principalities and powers. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9. Are you in this house? God wants us to take over the city of Durham, North Carolina. He wants us to take over Raleigh, Chapel Hill, Cary, Morrisville, Mebane, Zebulon, all the various counties of this land. And we are going to do that. Now, that is not a cliche. That is not just something we are saying. It's something we are going to do. Hallelujah. Bible says, hallelujah. This is Paul. He's talking to the church at Corinth. And he's saying that, guys, let's look at verse 8 so we get the context very quickly, please. He said, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Amen. Hallelujah. Why is Paul slowing down? Paul is moving around the places, setting up churches, right? But he came to Ephesus and said, ah, I got to stay here a little bit. Why? Look at verse 9. He says, a great door. And an effectual door has been opened for me. God said that your seed shall possess the gate. What was around this particular gate? The Bible says, and there are many adversaries. If you read your word, Paul said concerning Ephesus that I fought with lions at Ephesus. It took Paul through 2 years to, you know, release the word. Methodically, just releasing the word. The Bible says every day he will go to the school of Tyrannus and he will teach the word of God every day. After 2 years, all of Asia had heard the word of God. And the Bible says after 2 years, God allowed the power of God to move through Paul so that his handkerchiefs and aprons would touch people and bring healing to them and cast out those adversaries that were at the gate, the demons. Amen. And these demons were in people. And there was one such person who had these demons in them. And the sons of Sceva tried to deal with that particular demon. But those people did not have the breaker anointing. Without the breaker anointing, you can't deal with the principalities and the powers. God is releasing the breaker anointing so that we can take over the gates of this land. And possess this city. And possess the outlying cities. And possess the state in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And move on to other places. Hallelujah. The Bible says there are many adversaries. And when the sons of Sceva, without the breaker anointing, went to this man and said, devil, come out. The devil said, wait a minute. Jesus, in fact, they were saying this prayer. They had this canned deliverance prayer that had been successful in previous cases. And they kept on using it until they came to this kind. The Bible says, they said to this guy, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out. You need a connection to God to have the breaker anointing. Now, for other smaller demons, it worked. But this particular one was a principality. It wasn't a small one. He says, let me give you a teaching. Jesus, we know him. Paul, yeah, we know that guy. But you, who are you? When we look at you in the spiritual realm, there's no defense around you. You have no connection to this Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in my name you will cast out devils, but when they used it, it didn't work for them. They didn't have any connection. See, connection is important. Amen. The Bible says that day, that demon disciplined them. He beat them up. One man beat seven men. Bible says they were so much beaten that they were bleeding. And naked and ran away. It was a wonderful sight. The Bible says everything that Paul had done didn't take over the city. But this incident, everybody heard about it and said, hey, this Paul is a powerful guy. The Bible says the witches and the wizards in that land and the magicians came to Paul and says, Paul, we have come to realize that you are a great man. Your God, we want to serve your God. We tried all our occultic stuff at you. It didn't work. We tried the cauldrons. It didn't work. When we call your name, thunder comes and strikes us. When we put a pin in your effigy, lightning comes out and strikes us. Today we confess. But they confess their deeds openly. And they burnt their books. 50,000. Hallelujah. God is going to make that happen in this land. There is no power, there is no principality, there is no ruler of darkness that can prevail against you. Bible says, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Bible says, it's you who will stand and trample upon the dragon. You will trample upon the lion. It is you who will step on the adder. The Bible says, you will be doing that job. He says, in my name, you will cast out devils. Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. See, I am programmed to take over countries, to take over nations. I am a father of nations. Kings will come out of me in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without the breaker anointing, we can't do that. So let's go back to Micah chapter 2. verse 13. And now I believe it will make a better, you know, we'll be able to understand this better after having gone through this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. In Micah 2, verse 13, the Bible says, in verse 12, he said, I will gather all of you, right? But in verse 13, it says, the breaker is gone. The breaker is come up before them. The breaker is an anointing now goes ahead of you. Amen. That means before you get there, the breaker is already there. You need this anointing to precede you. Amen. May the Lord be a breaker in front of you. Hallelujah. I keep hearing Job 16 verse 14. We'll go there soon. Amen. The breaker is come up before them. Who do you think that breaker is? The Lord himself. When Israel came out of Egypt on the Passover, the next day, the Bible says, as they were going, a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud went ahead of them all throughout their journey. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May the pillar of fire go ahead of you in the night. May the pillar of cloud move ahead of you by the daytime. In the name of Jesus. The breaker. Everybody say the breaker. The word breaker means to burst out. Amen. That word means, in fact, the idea is to burst out of an enclosure. To come out of a womb. Amen. It means you are hemmed in a confined space. And this is what pushes you out of that confinement. Amen. The same word is used. Remember when Judah's daughter-in-law was giving birth to those twin boys, Phares and Zerah. You all know that story. The Bible said that these twins were in the womb of this woman. And when it was time to bring forth, the Bible says that the first boy came out. Now, the nurses will tell us that I think the head has to come first, right? Right? The hand came first. That's amazing, isn't it? The hand came up. But there was an anointing in the second guy. The guy said, where are you going? You are not going to be my elder brother. You are not going to sabotage me in life. I'm not going to be like Jacob who had to fight over Esau, over his blessing. We are solving this problem right here. That breaker anointing will not allow you to postpone your breakthrough. Hallelujah. He pulled this guy back. Hallelujah. In the womb, things happen. And then he came out. Now, the way he came out, he didn't come out the way kids normally. No, the kids will come out and the woman will be screaming and shouting. And this baby just. Hallelujah. And the midwife said, hey, look at how you broke out. Ha! You are going to be called Perez. Hallelujah. Look at how you broke out. That word, look at how you broke out, is the word breaker. Amen. He had this anointing on his life. And if you read the chronology of Judah, he was the guy whose seed multiplied. His brothers were not as fruitful as he was. And it was through his line that Jesus came. The breaker anointing was on him. When the breaker anointing is on you, your evil competitors will pull back. Instead of you having to fight with them, you just pull them back. It is an anointing. It is a grace. Hallelujah. It is a forceful, forceful anointing. Honestly, it is a very dangerous anointing. And as you go through these 3 days, you will see what this anointing is all about. Amen. The Bible says, the king shall go. Actually, the breaker is come up before them. Say, Father, let the breakthrough anointing go ahead of me. Send your angels ahead of me. Send the hornet ahead of me. Send the dread and the fear of you ahead of me to cut the enemy down before me. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All this is in Exodus 23. If you go there, you see what I'm talking about. It says the angel of the Lord will go ahead of you. And they will cut the enemy down. Before you get there, the breaker will go. Israel was having this oftentimes. There were certain battles God said, don't go. I will go. Hallelujah. We'll be seeing more of this. The Bible said they have broken up. Amen. You see, Jesus had to come and break through for us. He had to break through on the earth. And he had to break through in the region under the earth. And he had to break through going upstairs. Hallelujah. And the breaker goes ahead of us to make it easy for us. When the breaker goes ahead of you, he punches a hole big enough for you to come through. Amen. So the breaker went ahead of them. And the Bible says they have broken up. First, it said the breaker. That is a personal pronoun, right? But now this is plural. They have what? Broken up. So Jesus makes enough room for you to just kind of just go through it. That is why you and I are more than conquerors. That means somebody has already conquered. Bible says that he spoiled the principalities and the powers. And he made a public spectacle of them. And he triumphed over them by it. And here we are. He says, you guys, all authority in heaven and all authority on the earth is given to me. Therefore, you would go. And as you go, in my name, you will cast out devils. You will pick up serpents. You will drink poison. It will not harm you. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So Jesus has knocked out the big guy for us. He says, now you just go and finish the job. Hallelujah. He says, you go and do the thing. The breakout goes ahead of you, but you also have to also go through that hole too. Now that he's gone through it, the anointing is there. Hallelujah. They have passed through the gate. That was it. They passed through the gate. Jesus. When the breakout goes ahead of you, the gates are broken. Say, Father, let the breakout go ahead of us and break down the gates of Durham. Break down the gates of Morrisville. Break down the gates of Raleigh. Break down the gates of Wake County, Orange County, Pearson County. In Jesus' name. Orange County, we break down those gates in Jesus' name. We cut down the principalities. We bind them in Jesus' name. With the keys of the kingdom of heaven, we bind the principalities that operate in the airwaves of Durham, North Carolina. Over this state, we decree that the kingdom of God has come, that the kingdom of God is here. We are taking over the cities. We are taking over the villages. We are taking over the municipalities. We are taking this state in Jesus' mighty name. Makamba rando rumbo, meke bakamando korumbo. We are taking this land. We are taking this land. Instead of these souls going to hell, they are going to heaven in Jesus' name. Only one man with a stick came to Egypt. Hallelujah. And he brought the whole nation of Israel out behind him. Pharaoh had held Israel in the womb. God said, this nation that I'm going to make of you, Abraham, they have to be incubated in the womb of a place called Egypt. The word Egypt is really Mizraim. Say Mizraim. That word means two narrow passages, or it means two limits. So Egypt means the lower and the upper Egypt. Two passages, amen. And that word, the root word means something that is a siege or something that is hemming you in. Amen. You see mothers with their wombs. And they say, hey, the baby just kicked. Come and feel it. The baby just kicked. Hallelujah. And then you put a hand there. I don't feel it. But to make the wife happy, yeah. I feel something here. Hallelujah. We men are powerful. Hallelujah. The baby is trying to get out, you know. Think about it. If you are a baby and you are inside this narrow place, huh? You can't move out. You hear people talking around you, doing all kinds of stuff around you. You can't do anything. But just be kicking and stuff. Amen. Like Jacob and Esau, they were fighting so hard that Rebecca said, what in the world is this? What is going on? It says there are two nations fighting within you. Amen. And then God called Egypt a hot furnace. He called it an iron furnace. It was, you see, in a furnace, what do you put in a furnace? Fire. You are preparing a vessel. It says, out of Egypt are called my son. And Israel went there as a prototype of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also went to Egypt. It's a place of preparation. A place of preparation is a confined place where you are not given room to mess up. Amen. You are given only a small place. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just like the Garden of Eden. It was a confined place. It was a testing ground for what God had commissioned Adam to do. If Adam made it, he would have had the rest of the world. Amen. You see, and in the place of confinement is heat. Amen. How many have seen The Father of the Bride before? It's a very interesting film, Steve Martin. You know, at one time, his daughter was pregnant and his wife was pregnant. And in the house, these two men were all in the house with him. And, you know, it was so hot for them. They had to turn the air conditioner on. And that made Steve Martin very, very cold. So he was in the house in summertime, wearing all this stuff around him. What is happening? There's heat in that womb. Amen. We visited a pregnant woman once, and it was it was really cold. I mean, it was cold. But this woman was fanning herself. I'm like, wow. What is happening? There's heat over there. So in that place of confinement, there's heat, there's pressure, there's discomfort. Amen. But Israel was comfortable until there arose a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. Amen. He said, who are these people who are filling up this country like that? We got to kill them. We got to take them out. He began to nurse down. This is what we call labor pains. They had reached the third trimester. Amen. The church was in Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in John, I believe chapter 2, it said, tear this temple down, and in 3 days, I'll build it back up again. They said, come on, Herod's temple took 46 years. What are you talking about? He says, Jesus was really talking about the body, the temple. The church was locked up in him. But that church couldn't come out until he died. There was life in that seed. There was a nation in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you are getting this word. Israel was locked up in Egypt, a place of confinement. And they were, you see, Israel, they are very comfortable. They were very comfortable in Egypt. They kept reminding Moses, in Egypt, we had concubines to eat. We had leeks to eat. We had a wonderful diet over there. What is this manna that we are eating? Until the pressure came and we're being oppressed. And one day Moses, who was in Midian, God came to say, I have heard the cry. What was the cry all about? It's time to give birth. Amen. When it's time to give birth, the women know what I'm talking about. They begin to cry out. Amen. I'm talking about natural birth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They begin to what? Cry out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Israel began to cry because of their afflictions. In Micah 2 verse 2, the Bible says that the people who were assembled began to make a shout. The breaker anointing is released by a shout. Let's shout amen. Amen. Now, you see, that kind of shout is not going to bring the baby out. Not in the least. Say amen. 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 Well, I don't think you have reached that point yet. So we'll just probably by the third day, you will get it. Israel was making a lot of noise. They cried because of their affliction. Amen. A desperate person will not whisper. Amen. In the labor room, there's no friend there. In fact, if the woman at times will insult the husband. Look at all this thing you've taken me through. Amen. It's a place of great pain. Because the child is coming out. And as the child is coming out, they are opening up the birth canal. And it's a very painful procedure. Amen. 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 It's very painful. They took the boys and threw them in the Nile. Now that was what really messed up Israel. Amen. And it was at that time that Moses was born. The guy with the breaker anointing. Amen. Your blessing is released in the time of your greatest tribulation. At the time of your greatest warfare is when God releases the blessing. Hallelujah. That's what God says. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Tribulations release the breaker anointing. It agitates this anointing. Moses was born. Within 80 years, he was prepared. And he came and brought Israel out of Egypt. The name Moses means brought out of what? Waters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Israel started coming out of Egypt. Amen. It wasn't an easy process. They started going down the birth canal. They left Egypt. But somebody was chasing them. Hallelujah. At that time, what will happen? The baby has to turn around until the head comes down. If it doesn't, we are in trouble. Right? And then the Israel started going out. Amen. And they came to a place called the Red Sea. And the midwife, Egypt, was chasing them. When it's the labor room, my God, you got to give birth. The labor is on. And it gets more and more intense. Israel is like, Moses, what is this thing? What wisdom is this? You bring us to this place, you want to kill us? The Bible says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In fact, birth in the Bible is seen as a passage of death. Because there are people who have been to the bedchamber and didn't come out. The woman who gave birth to Ichabod died in the process. Rachel, in giving birth to Benjamin, died. Amen. So it is a very, very dangerous time. Hallelujah. But it is a time when a new nation is being born. It comes with a lot of shouting. The Bible says in Isaiah 66, there's a cry and a shout in the temple, a shout of recompense. Shall a nation be born in one day? In one day, Israel came out and became a nation. But you know that when, before the child comes, that what comes out first? Water. Amen. Hallelujah. And that water was the Red Sea. It's water and what? Blood. And that water was resisting the birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses stood there as a midwife and he opened the sea and they went through it. Out of Egypt, I called my son. The breakthrough went ahead of them all that night. And whilst that anointing was working, Egypt tried to mess up Israel. And the Bible says, in the time of the fourth watch, the angel discomfited the Egyptians and caused their chariots to ride heavily, and they couldn't move very fast. All that night, the angel was a pillar of cloud, darkness on the side of the Egyptians, and light for the Israelites. Hallelujah. When the darkness moved, Israel was walking through the sea. Israel was like, whoa. They said, let's chase them. As they were chasing the chariots, the Bible says the angels went ahead and started pulling the wheels there. Hallelujah. When the breaker anointing hits you, you get help from heaven. When the breaker anointing hits you, the stress and the struggle and the hustle is removed. You are in a period of rest. The Father says that the breaker goes ahead of you. And all you have to do is just go through it. All you have to do is just walk through the gate. Hallelujah. Breakthrough. Hallelujah. That breakthrough anointing is in this house. We will break through on the left and break through on the right. This word came to me, I think March 3rd or March 4th. I was praying right here in this house. And the word breakthrough just dropped in my spirit, man. I was like, where is this word coming from? Amen. So I began to research it. Hallelujah. It was around that season that God began to move in this church. This very month. Hallelujah. And God said, let's do a three-day thing. And that's what we are doing now. Hallelujah. See, we did it on short notice, right? We didn't plan this like months ahead. We said we're doing a three-day program, right? Yeah. That is what really happened. And then God began to break through in this church. Last week, Friday, oh my goodness, God was here. Sunday, the praise and worship team, they were all flawed. I mean, they were praising, boom, boom. What happened? Breakthrough. The breakthrough has come into this house. And this morning, my wife was telling me a dream that she had. I just laughed in my head. He said, it's like we were in service. And it was like the wall here, this particular wall that you see here, it broke down. And there were like orphans, small kids, like orphans, just broke it and just came into this house. What broke that wall? The breaker anointing. When the breaker anointing hits, what has been confined is opened up and we burst out with force and nothing can stop. When the breaker anointing hits you, if anybody tampers with you, that person is in danger. The Bible says that Pharaoh tried to go through the same sea and drowned in the process. When the breaker anointing comes, whoever tries to mess up and interfere with that process dies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The breaker anointing is in this house. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 1, how do we bring about the breaker anointing? It comes through a time of travail. Everybody say travail. Oh my God. It is good to prevail in prayer. But you prevail until you get to the point of travailing. Say you prevail until you get to the point of travailing. Prevailing prayer is like the 9 months of pregnancy. It's not time to give birth, right? In fact, you're not trying to give birth. You're trying to keep this thing there. Otherwise, it's miscarriage, stillbirth, abortion, whatnot. Amen. There's a grace to bear the child. You need to be strong. So they do all these exercises, you know, that stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. They all go to a certain place and they do. Is that, I mean, it's all true. I might tell you the truth here. They do all this stuff so that they keep the child in there, keep it strong, right? Then they have to change their diet. Amen. All they're doing is keeping this child in. They take prenatal, whatever. Everything is keyed in to help you bear this child through the 9 months. If you are not strong, the doctors at times will put you on a bed rest. Amen. And the whole idea is to keep this child until full term. Because if you don't get to full term, there are certain problems the child has. You understand that? Amen. So it's important to be able to hold this child. We call that prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer, just holding on to that promise that God has made you. And just praying day and now and just trusting God and just believing God. And just holding fast that confession of faith. Holding it. Not allowing the enemy to snatch it out of your hands. But there has to come a time where the prevailing prayer has to give way to what? Travailing prayer. Travailing prayer is not just holding on. Travailing prayer is what? Birthing the promise. And to travail is a different kind of prayer. Jesus prayed many prayers. Amen. The Bible records that every morning he used to pray, right? A great while before day he would go and pray. The Bible records in Luke 5 that he would pray. Amen. In Luke 6, he was on mountains praying. But when he entered the Garden of Gethsemane, it was a different prayer. He said, my soul is sorrowful exceedingly unto what death. This was a prayer that he was praying and blood began to come out. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he began to groan and cry. He says, Father, if you can, just postpone this for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Postpone this. The Father said, it's not my will. Jesus said, well, then let not my will, but let your will be done. It was a time of travail. He traveled so hard that his sweat became like blood. The sons of Israel were being killed. Blood was lost in the process. Amen. Travailing is a dangerous time. And if you don't have the strength to travail, you give up. And then the child is in danger. Hallelujah. But don't give up. The travailing time, the Bible says that a woman in labor has sorrow, according to John 16. But when she gives birth, there's joy. Hallelujah. The woman will say before she gives birth, I will never, never, ever go through this again. After this, I'm cutting off my tubes. I'm locking it up. I'll close the gates. No. But after the child comes, I think we need to have another boy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's joy because you have given birth to a man child. Amen. When you're going through it, it's not pleasant. I believe what the church is going through in America is the travailing prayer. It's a time of great distress. The Bible says Lot was distressed with all the things that he was seeing around him. We are really distressed by what we are seeing around us. But if we would take that distress and channel that into prayer, we will bring forth a mighty move of God in this land. The voice of healing of 1940s will be nothing compared to what God would do in our day and in our time. Bible says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth, everybody say, break forth into singing. And I tell you, the cry and the shout precedes the break anointing. Amen. Cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wives, hear the Lord. Hallelujah. Thou shalt. That word break forth is the same word in Micah 2:13. Thou shalt what? Break forth. That word is the Hebrew word parat. Say parat. Amen. If you are taking note, it's P-A-R-A-T-S. But the pronunciation is like parat. It means to break out or break through or increase. Hallelujah. It says you shall do what? Break forth on the what? And where did you see them coming out from? They were coming out. There was a breakthrough and the wall broke down and the people were coming out. Did the whole wall break out or there was a hole? It was what? A hole. The word breaker means to make a breach or to make a hole. To make a breach or to make a hole. God is going to make a breach and a hole. We have to open up that hole. Just open it up. Hallelujah. God is giving you that break anointing. Isn't it God that told Abraham, I will multiply thy seed, right? As the stars of heaven and as the sun on the seashore. He said, your seed shall possess gate of their enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth. Look at this verse. You will break forth on the right hand. Any gate on your right hand, you will break it down. Any gate on your left hand, you will break it down. And the Bible says, your seed. And who is the seed of Abraham? We are the seed of Abraham. Your seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Now the word Gentiles is what? Nations. It means nations. And you would make the desolate cities to be inhabited. A desolate city is a place where nothing is happening. A place where of no man's land. Nobody is there. But because of this grace on our life, this country will come alive. Durham will come alive. Thank God that we are here. This city should thank God that we are here. Because of us, this city is coming alive. Hallelujah. 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 And when that break anointing hits you, my brother, my sister, you can no longer be confined anymore. When the break anointing came, hallelujah. Let's go to Job 16, verse 14. I promise you, this is my last verse. Hallelujah. Yes. So I see I've ceremoniously closed my Bible. So you can see that I really mean business. All my Bibles are closed. Hallelujah. Bear with me. Hallelujah. Job 16, verse 14. I want to give you a picture before you leave this house. Have this picture in your mind before you go home. What does the breaker anointing look like? He breaketh me with what? Breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. Now, Job was talking about God. And he was complaining about what he was going through. And say, it's like God, you see, he was there. They told him that your sheep are dead. And that guy runs, your camels are dead. And that guy runs, your children are dead. The next day, when he wakes up, there's sores all over his body. I mean, just trouble after trouble after trouble. He says, he breaketh me what? Breach upon breach. He runneth upon me. The Bible said the breaker is gone ahead. It is a forceful anointing. It runs. Amen. It's a very powerful, potent anointing. Amen. In fact, you will need the priestly anointing just to steward that anointing so it doesn't hurt anybody. Hallelujah. David found that out. That breaker anointing, if you joke with it, it will kill. Hallelujah. The Bible says, he breaketh me with breach upon breach. When Moses came to Egypt, Pharaoh said, who is your God? He threw a stick down. Pharaoh wasn't too impressed with that. Amen. And then he hit the waters. And the water that Pharaoh was going to drink became blood. That was one breach. Pharaoh thought that, you know, Moses' miracles has an expiry date. He felt that there's just so many tricks. You know, a magician has just so many tricks. So their art is about 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, there's nothing more they can do. Amen. He didn't realize that this God had his arm stretched out. He stretched out his hand. And when that hand is stretched, as long as it is stretched, you are in deep trouble. That was just the tip of the iceberg. The next day, Pharaoh woke up, and instead of his wife giving him a good morning, it was a frog kissing him. It was a very bad day for Pharaoh. His magicians brought more frogs. Amen. I'm like, you should get them out. Why are you bringing more? Amen. The next time, flies all over. I think it's because of Pharaoh that there are so many flies in Africa. Hallelujah. But there were just so many flies over there, okay? And the Bible says, hallelujah. And then these flies came all over the place. This was the only one that Pharaoh begged Moses. He says, I beg you. I can't handle these flies. Have you ever had flies worry you before? It is so annoying. When they mess you up, then they come into your ears and they go and come back and go and come. Very annoying. When they bite you, they kind of come to tease you. Did you hear me? Did you feel me? Hallelujah. But in any case, the next day, these magicians who had withstood Moses day in, day out, the next bridge that came hit them. And they said, Pharaoh, please, this thing, let these people go. There were boils in their private parts. That was one bridge. Hallelujah. After some time, the magician said that this is the finger of God. We can't duplicate it. Moses said, oh, I have just warmed up. The first time, Moses was a little bit apprehensive and nervous, a little bit. He had some inferiority complex, if you read the Bible verse. But now his confidence level was kind of, he says, Pharaoh, you can choose the day you want me to pray so that this storm will cease. Today or tomorrow, I'll do it for you. Hallelujah. So bold. May God give us that boldness. Amen. Brother, sister, our miracles haven't run out. The signs and wonders have no expiry date. The same Jesus that healed in those days is healing today. He hit him with bridge after bridge. The next time, Moses directed his hand towards the sky. Hailstones, fire came from heaven. That was terrible. That was in the end. Then he said, there'll be darkness. The Bible said the darkness that came upon Egypt was so thick it could be felt. He says, he breaks me what? Bridge after bridge. God is not done yet. Hallelujah. He says, Pharaoh, let my people go. He says, okay, who is going? He says, the men, the women, the children. Pharaoh said, no, not the animals. He says, what are you talking about? We need the animals for the sacrifice. No, you have a bad idea. Pharaoh said, okay, whatever you want. The next time Moses came, he said, Pharaoh, you are in trouble. Let my people go. God is not having a problem with the enemy. Amen. He respects authority. Isn't God so wonderful? He's not going to come behind Pharaoh's back and take his people away. He said there's an authority structure there. I must respect that authority. Amen. That is why the church must respect the authority in place now. You may not like Obama, or you may like him, but you must respect him. Romans 13 says you must respect him. It says that he holds the sword. And he's a messenger of God. Amen. And we as a church, we have to pray for him. And I think that our lack of prayer is causing a lot of the problems out there. Amen. If the church will pray, if my people will pray, God will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins. He will heal this land of the United States. He will heal this land. Amen. He breaketh me with bridge upon bridge. The final bridge, he says, I'm taking out your firstborn. That night, when Pharaoh woke up, his firstborn was dead. He said, call Moses quickly. He had told Moses, I don't want to see your face again. He said, call Moses, please. He says, Moses, I beg you, get out of this place. Get all your people, leave. Go, go now. Moses said, wait a minute. We need gold. We need silver. He said, we didn't talk about it. He says, no, we need that. He says, I beg you, whatever you need, take it. Just go. Just go. The Bible said that the Egyptians were begging the Israelites, hurry up and go. They said, the women were so powerful. They said, if you are going, we need that gold. I see your gold tooth. I need that gold tooth. He said, we need my gold tooth. He said, yeah, if you want me to go, he has to pull it out and give it to them. Hallelujah. The Bible says they plundered Egypt. They plundered Egypt. They plundered Egypt. The Bible says they urged them. When you're in that labor room, the last minute, the nurses are like, push, push, hurry up. Amen. Because if you lose God at that time, that kid's head is stuck in the birth canal and will come out with all kinds of problems. Amen. They urged them insistently and they came out. Israel went out of Egypt with a high hand. Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ, when he died and went down, he hit them breach after breach. He spoiled not a principality, but what? Principalities. The principalities of diabetes. Psh. Principality of high blood pressure. Psh. All these principalities, amen, of the perverse spirit, the familiar spirit, he dealt with them conclusively. Hallelujah. He made them all nonsense. And he took the key of death and hell. And he came out with it and said that all authority. Authority is symbolized by keys. Amen. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Jesus broke through for us. Now that he has broken through, why is the church stuck in prayer? Why is the church stuck in fastness? Why is the church stuck in prayer rooms? Why is the church stuck in the dark places? Why is the church stuck in the caves and dens and in the hotel rooms? It's time for the church to come out. And it's time for the church to take this land. It's good to pray. It's good to fast, but it's time to get out and take that prayer anointing out into the fields and win the people. Amen. You are programmed to take over nations. The breaker has gone ahead of us. Hallelujah. He has broken down the gates. It's time to take the land. I want us to begin to pray at this hour. The breaker anointing is in this house. You need a breakthrough. Maybe you're in a place of confinement. You may be facing two limits like the Israelites felt in Egypt. But the Bible says, out of Egypt I called my son. God is calling you out of where you are locked up. God is pulling you out of that pit. God is pulling you out of that prison. God is bringing you out of that place of confinement. The breaker anointing is in this house. It's going to break forth on the left and on the right. You need this anointing on your life, brother, sister. I want you to pray. Begin to pray, Father, within these 3 days, may this anointing hit me. May I have that breaker anointing. Joseph had this anointing. Wherever he went, he prospered. Jacob had this anointing. Wherever he went, he prospered. I want you to pray, Father, before these 3 days is over, bless me with the breaker anointing. May this anointing be upon my life for good in Jesus' name. Begin to pray.